All right, all my people out there, I am so excited for this episode of Movies on a Monday. I'm Terrence.
And I'm Matt. And for all you moms out there, you're welcome. We're talking about a Mother's Day movie. A movie all about mothers. And with the abbreviation Multiverse of Madness, Mom, that's it. It's a Mother's Day movie.
Did you hear that somewhere?
No, that I've been saying that for a while, although I didn't. I like have been like making the mom joke or whatever about it. And then I saw, I was like, oh, it's Mother's Day. Oh, mom. Hey, those go together. And she's a mom.
So. That's the first time I've actually thought about that. I'm like, that actually is pretty. I wonder if that was on purpose, because that actually is pretty good.
I would say it would be on purpose if they hadn't like moved this movie like five times. Just, I mean, like all of the Marvel slate, they've moved a bunch to.
But. That would be a reason to move it. Somebody was sitting in a meeting. They're like, you know what? Why don't we have this come out during Mother's Day weekend? I could actually see that happening. That
would be great. And then I was like, shut up, Jeff. He's like, okay. Good idea.
And then five moves later, they're like, you know what? I got this idea. And Jeff's sitting in the corner. He's like, I said that.
Jeff, like, oh, I swear to God, get out of this meeting.
Who invited him here? That's how it went down.
Like, guys, I'm your colleague. I'm not your subordinate. Jeff, shut up. Seriously?
Go get some coffee, Jeff.
I technically outrank you guys. Jeff, I will lose my freaking mind if you open your mouth again.
You do not shut up. Come on, Jeff.
I enjoyed that bit, Terrence. I like that.
For now on, every single time we get upset, I'm going to be like, Jeff, just shut up. Jeff is joining the show. You'll never hear him, but he's here.
Yeah. Jeff, say hi. Actually, Jeff, shut up. No one cares.
We don't even want to hear you right now, Jeff.
any Jeffs out there, no offense at your name. No shot. You're not the new Karen, I promise. You're not doing that.
The new Jeff, the person everybody gets mad at. Oh, Lord, Jeff is here again? Come on, Jeff.
And all of our subscribers named Jeff, turn it off. They're done.
They're out. Done. Rap.
What kind of name is Terrence?
Down. No, there can't be a Terrence, because there's not too many of us. That'd be like hating on the blind kid in the class for not seeing the board, okay? It's like, we're already not out here enough. Like, why would you do that?
There's plenty of Matts, though. Every Matt I've met has been a little weird. I'm not going to lie. Like, I like, and I typically like it. I'm like, oh, Matt, you're kind of weird. That's my type of weird. But I think that's just kind of a Matt thing. I don't know.
You know what? I'm thinking about all the Matts I've ever met. They have been a little, like, every time I'm like, that's kind of a goofiness to you, but I'm down. I dig it.
Yeah, exactly. It's lovable. We're very affable weirdos.
Matter of fact, is there a Matt that I've ever hated? I don't think I've ever had a beef with a Matt. Like, I'm like, that's Matt.
Props. they say something so offensive, like, ah, oh, Matt.
Nope. Oh, Matt. Jeff, will you stop?
Get out of here, Jeff.
We are actually here to talk about a movie that does not have a Jeff or a Matt in it.
Correct.
But we are here to talk about the long-awaited Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And I am super excited to talk about this movie. We didn't even talk about beforehand whether this is going to be spoiler-free or not.
Because it's a movie that's like, how do you hold back on, on talking about spoilers? So if you haven't seen it and you're like, guys, I don't want this ruined. Then Jeff, seriously, turn it off.
Who asked you here in the first place, Jeff?
This is a shot. Do not miss your chance. Blow.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Eminem Matt.
You're welcome.
So if you need to go, you come back and we'll be here to talk about it. But Matt, Multiverse of Madness. All right, give it to me. What did you, first of all, that's what she said. First of all,
Easy killer.
What is your overall, do you think this movie's good?
Here's what's hard for me. There's a reason that I will typically avoid horror movies. There's this mystical supernatural thing that, as someone who has been a part of, I've seen three or four different, this might freak you guys out, but I've seen three or four different actual demonic possessions and dealt with that sort of thing. It's so hard for me to watch a movie like this and see them kind of flirt with that occultic stuff and be like, oh yeah, a witch and hex and all this sort of stuff. And it's you guys are hinting on stuff that's very real and I've seen in life. And so it's hard. I can't walk away and be like, oh yeah, that was a great movie. So I'm trying to separate the mental side of this and the logical side as I'm looking at this. And what I can say about that, that'll be the most negative thing I have to say about it, is that its subject matter is tough. But I did know going into this, because I know the Doctor Strange comics. I know in the comics, he deals with Mephisto. He goes to hell. He all this stuff. Yeah, it's in the comics. There wasn't anything in here that I'm like, oh, that's crazy. That's not at comic related at all that they just threw in. No, it's all part of the comics, but it's one thing to know it's in the comics and kind of be thinking that's going to go that route, and then to see it on screen and you're kind of getting that feeling back again from those times I've had. It's off-putting to me, but that doesn't mean it's a bad movie in terms of what they're going for or their story structure, anything like that. So that's my big disclaimer I'm going to throw out at the top of all of this.
All right. Fair enough. I love this movie.
I figured based on how excited you were, I was like, oh, Terrence is going to rave.
Oh my goodness, this movie was so good. And there are so many different aspects of it, but I love right now, as we're in this phase of Marvel, whether it's phase four or whatever you want to call it, where the stories are a lot more personal. And yeah, it's not this overarching. I think the only exception right now would be Eternals. But other than that, I feel like every story has been a real down to earth. Let's just get into the feelings of it. I think Wanda, my wife and I, we watched it, and with Wanda, with her, I think she might be a better villain than even Thanos, because she actually has a real point, and it's hard to argue against her. Yes. Okay. Matter of fact, if I think about it even enough, I'm like, yeah, she wants her kids. I get it. what would you do for your children?
Yeah. It's a really bold choice that they went full villain. Again, this is in the comics. Scarlet Witch has been a full-on villain before, but in the MCU, we saw her start off as a villain, but even then it was very, I guess, light villaining. I don't know if that's the best phrase, but Avengers 2, she even turns good in Avengers 2. And from Avengers 2 all the way to the start and maybe the middle of WandaVision, you're still on her side. Now, as WandaVision goes on, because you've had this journey with her, first of all, props to Marvel to be like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and take this hero and seriously make them a very compelling villain. And she has all of the reasons, we can understand her reasoning, even if we disagree. But to see her slowly go from what she says being reasonable to just I've been holding back, I've been pulling my punches, except for against Thanos, just going ham on these characters. holy crap that they they committed to this. But as I'm watching it, I still am almost still in a little bit of denial even early on in the movie, where it's she's not gonna be the full villain. WandaVision happens and you're like, okay, Westview was bad, it was really bad, I can't get around that, but I mean, she's grieving, I can understand it, you do those mental gymnastics a little bit.
Yeah.
And then still in this movie, she's fighting at Kermitage and oh, she's bad, that she kills a guy. I'm like, ooh, that's really not good. And then she does the mirror scene and they're like, oh, she's like a Japanese horror villain. And then she fights Illuminati. You're like, okay, well, she's not coming back.
Yeah, she's gone. Well, and that's what I loved about even her journey. Because even in Age of Ultron, she's not bad. She's just manipulated.
Yeah.
And I think even in with WandaVision, once again, manipulated. And it's like we get to see how this person is broken down through all these different movies. And it's like you always joke about, oh, or not you, but just in general, where everybody's like, we're seeing the making. Matt doesn't joke at all. I Jeff, never. Will you get out of here? Jesus,
this is the greatest running gag we have ever had. I'm here for it. I love it.
But you always hear like people are like, we're seeing the birth of a villain. We really actually got to see the birth of a villain and everything that she had gone through and trying to hold it all together. This was the movie where she's like, done, I'm sick of this, I'm going full out. And that was like, when the movie first starts off, I love how you just jump into it. There's really no like lead up. It's just like, you see right after, it's like, all right, time has passed. We don't necessarily know how much time has passed since Endgame, but then it's just like, all right, here's it, now let's go. And the minute like America Chavez shows up, it's just go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. And I love that about this movie. And even though at times you're like, wait a minute, what's happening? Why are they going here? I feel like you get caught up really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. The Wanda villaining, like last thing to say about it is just like how evil she got, how menacing she got, and just like her lines to Illuminati, like to Mr. Fantastic, of like, well, your kids will still have a mother then. And like, jeez, woman. And it's really funny. I did see this online. Some people talk about like the Matrix vibes that they got from like the Illuminati, but like, oh, we're not worried about Scarlet Witch. Like that first scene of the Matrix where it's like, I think my guys can handle just one little girl. Like, no. Officer, your men are already dead. And then she does the Agent Smith thing again. It's like, what good is shouting if you can't speak?
I was like, oh.
And Black Bolt, I haven't watched the Inhumans show, but a lot of people that I've read, because this is the Black Bolt from the Inhumans show,
yes.
That they said in his like 3 minutes he had in this movie, he already did so much more than he did in that whole season of Inhumans.
I made it through 2 episodes and I was like, this is garbage. I'm so done with the show. But it really was like, and he was really easy to write off in the show as like a B actor. And I don't know if he's much better, but in this movie, he came off a lot stronger. And even before the scene with the Illuminati, I just loved how it was like, okay, we got America. We got to find somebody that's going to help. Who's better to help? This is which. And that scene where everything, this is when I knew this movie was going to be off the chain. It is that scene where he goes to first talk to Wanda and he's like, hey, we need your help, blah, blah, blah. And the minute she's like I even heard it when she was like, well, why don't you bring America here? And he stops and it's like, she just messed up. And yeah. That moment, she was like, you never said her name, did you? And he goes, no. And I was like, oh, this is going to be bomb.
Yeah. My wife caught that too. She like whispered it. It's like, I never said his name. I'm like, Jeff, what are you doing in this theater?
If I have to tell you one more time.
Security, rough him up a bit on the way out.
And then one of the coolest things, like, because she's like talking about, hey, I'm being merciful. And then he was like, how are you being merciful? And she's like, I could have sent me. And like, at that point, I was like, okay, this is one of those movies where it's like, okay, yeah, they just didn't want to go full on with her right away. But she really was worse, like yeah. Really bad. And just to see even how she was, her patience was running thin. And this, they use this in almost every single villain's like, I'm going easy on you, and my patience is running. And you're like, okay, you're just doing the same stuff. She really was, you could see that her patience was running out. Like, she was like, I'm done with this. And then that whole scene when finally they get to the Illuminati, it just took off.
Yeah. And it's very believable of that she had been holding back, except for, like I said, except for against Thanos, but she had been holding back because she knows the power that she has. And it's impressive. It kind of makes her a little bit like the, like if you really think about it, and if you look at every single scene of Wanda, there's every now and then you're like, oh, her power creep should, like, that shouldn't have happened, like at the beginning of Civil War where she couldn't contain like the grenade well enough and it blew up and it still killed some people. It's like, no, this Wanda easily could have so, maybe like one or two where they maybe goofed up that you can be like, well, she was learning, I, you know, whatever, I don't care whatever excuses you have to make, but this is how she is in the comics. This is the power level that Scarlet Witch should have.
Absolutely. And this is the Wanda that in the comics, when you get the House of M, where everybody is already talking about how she's saying no more mutants, or she changes reality. This is like how powerful she is. She can do that stuff. And they showed that so well in this movie. And just the whole, like, once you got a hold of the what was it, the dream walking? Because at first I was like, wait a minute, why don't she just go get her? And then I was like,
that first scene where it's showing her dream walking and then it's like doing like all these fade-ins like a 90s music video. That was unintentionally hilarious. I'm like, dude, just put some acoustic guitar here, have a Eddie Vedder singing Unplugged, or Alanis Morissette right there singing along. You got it.
Yeah, you know what, so I know for me, I could like talk through this whole movie. Tell me what is, and you guys, we're going off the top of our heads right now, but what would you say is your top three scenes of the movie?
I will preface everything to say, because one thing I did want to mention is Sam Raimi. This is a very Sam Raimi film.
Oh, gosh.
If you know his style, he plays the hits. Like, Tenet is a Christopher Nolan film. It's like Christopher Nolan at his most Nolan-y. This is Sam Raimi at his most Raimi-y. You see hints and flashes, like when they're fighting Gargantus at the very beginning and they're on the outside of the building. I'm like, a giant tentacle monster and they're fighting on the outside of a New York skyscraper. Where have I seen this before? Oh yeah, Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock. It's like very, very obvious usage of his own stuff, but yet doing new things. All right. Top three scenes. Top number one, I'm going that way, is the Illuminati fight. Like that, that was cool to see all these characters. Sadly, I wasn't surprised by any of the reveals. We've talked about like how much I've been trying to avoid this. And the thing I was most surprised about this movie was that Scarlet Witch was the villain. I wasn't surprised at any of the, like, not even John Krasinski. I'm like, yep, I heard that rumor. That's not.
Oh, yeah. But it was still, because we all knew in Spider-Man No Way Home, the other Spider-Man, months before the movie came out. It was they're in it. There's no way. But it was still cool to finally see it. And I was like, he is Reed Richards. That's awesome. Like, I was like, he finally did it.
And I really hope that we see more. Like, there are some people who are like, oh, maybe this is just a one-off. They're like, oh, this was a fan casting. You guys all wanted him. We're going to do this. This is a multiverse version of him, and we don't have to stick to this casting. And while that's true that they don't have to, I think they will.
Oh, absolutely. Because I don't, that would be a really cruel joke. Like, that's not just like giving the fans what they want this one time, but why would you know that people are wanting this? And then to be like, oh, but we killed him right away. So, and I'm thinking because the original director was supposed to be the guy that directed all the Spider-Man, the recent trilogy, and he dropped out. And it wasn't because of bad blood or anything. I think he just needed a break. You can't go from Spider-Man and then to Fantastic Four. I think, and word on the street is, that they're working out a deal with John Krasinski to also direct the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I think that's a rumor that just is based completely in logic. That would make sense. All the timing of this, that would make sense. If that happens, I'm all for it. He's a great director. And I think Marvel would be dumb to not consider that at the very least. You've already now shown that you've got him and that he is Marvel friendly. Why not ask him about it and court that idea? I think that would be great. That's a fantastic option.
Yeah, no, and even just behind the scenes, because they're making another Quiet Place. Mm-hmm. And so with the next Quiet Place, he's like a executive producer, but he's not in it. He's not writing it. He's just there to give his ideas. And I think I saw an interview where he's just like, here's the treatment that I would think should be in the story. And so it makes sense for him to be like, at that time, be like, you know what? I'm moving on, gonna wash my hands of this. I did it. Now I gotta focus on this. True. I think one of my favorite scenes of the movie, I think, would be how she is almost like zombie Wanda as she's chasing them through the tunnels. Mm-hmm. That to me is like horror-esque right there. It's like there's this like monster coming to get you, and she's just, that to me reminded me of the scene in Rogue One where Darth Vader finally shows up at near the end, and he's just going down the tunnel, he's just killing people, and I was just like, oh yeah, this right here is that.
And that scene got ruined at the end of it where like they're running and she keeps breaking through the doors, and then the final one door manages to close and they stop. And they just stare at the door and they just wait. And I'm like, no, guys, I know this is what you do in horror movies, but you Marvel heroes, be smarter than this.
Well, no, because she didn't bust through that door. She came from someplace else.
I know she didn't, but I mean, they're still running to stay ahead of her. And whether she's blocked by that or not, you want to keep putting distance between you and her.
But remember, and for me, if I know somebody's not behind me no more, especially with somebody like her, I'm asking a question, okay, where is she at? Like, I don't want to keep running and know that I'm running into her. Like, that's the way I would think
about it. Oh, I'm so sorry that I dare pick apart anything of this beloved movie that is your favorite thing ever.
I love this movie. I thought this movie was so good.
My number two scene from it would be, I thought that the climax was really, that was a great way to end it. That's kind of the only way that you could end it, is to have her kids be afraid of this new Wanda. No one else is going to convince her that she's a monster. She's in her own head. I'm not a monster. I'm not a monster. She keeps saying that everything is for love for her kids and doesn't think through these consequences. She's acting out of pain, and to see what it does to her kids and how her kids are viewing it. That is a perfect way to show all of it. Cause it's like, they're not going to beat her. They're not going to beat her with just being better at whatever. Like it was too much of a stretch. I didn't like this where America's like, I can't control my powers. And Dr. Strange's like, yes, you can. And she's like, yes, I can. Like,
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I get that. He believes in you, so now you have a better shot. But it's like, she had like pinpoint control at that point. It's like, no, that is not how that works. I'm sorry. I don't give a crap, but that part was very realistic of like, well, now that you're here, this is, no one's going to beat you. You have to choose to stop.
No. Yeah. I would agree with you on that. The ending, I felt like they kind of got themselves in a corner and like, well, she hasn't been able to use her powers the whole time, but we got to finish this movie. So here we go.
Yeah.
I think my number two would be the fight with Gargantos.
He has a different name in the comics, but apparently there's a licensing issue with that name. Is it Shuri Gorath or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Because I love that fight at the beginning with just like how, first of all, this monster appeared. It almost feels like it was like kind of Superman, where it's like you start off and it's like he's flying towards her. And at first I didn't know how I felt about that. I was like, okay. But then once they start going, I feel like this movie did the big starfish better than Suicide Squad did. Because I felt like the animation for this, and if you look, the emotion that is portrayed through that one eye is so good. Like, go back and if you can watch it again, go back and look at his eye. He is surprised. The eye says more about what's going on than him saying words, actually. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, he looks surprised. And
I still think that the starfish, like the emotion of the starfish landed better, especially like, because you are able to give voice to it. And it's not like a monologue. It's not like a long soliloquy he has, but he gives like this one little line at the end of like, we were peaceful. We were amongst the stars. We were like, whatever it was that he says, but it's just kind of like that. We wanted to be left alone. And now we brought, and then all the stuff that's implied afterwards of like, you brought us here, you experimented on us. Why did you think this is going to go? We were happy and you ruined that. It's like, oh, you feel bad for him because you can understand that completely. So,
yeah, I just like the fight setup though. I think you're right about the story part of it, but I just love that fight. I thought it was great.
Yep. I would say maybe my number three, as silly as this is, I love a good Bruce Campbell cameo.
Yeah.
It's not big, but I mean, I knew he was going to be in it. It's Bruce Campbell. He's in every Sam Raimi movie and he is a scene stealer because he's just a classic ham actor. That is just so much fun to, he definitely overacts in every single thing he does, but it's just part of that charm and you love it. So I really loved the, what was it? The Pizza Papa or something like that.
The Pizza Balls.
Yeah, no, what his name was, is something like the Pizza Papa or something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And if you guys don't know, the whole hand thing, basically Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead, he has to chop off his hand because his hand gets enchanted. It's the same thing, and his hand turns evil, so he has to chop off his hand. And so that was part of the funniness of that scene where his hand all of a sudden attacks him. It's like, oh, no matter what universe he's in, he has to get rid of his hand. I would say, though, my number three is the music fight with the music notes. I thought that was so original. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And how the music changed and the way that they used it, I was like, that's incredible.
My wife ruined that for me because she leans over. She's like, they're fighting with music. And like, because what she doesn't like with movies like this is that she doesn't like where it's like, you can do anything. So you don't really have to explain the rules of everything. And they didn't explain any rules of this music fight. And that, to me, that's fine. I get it. And you're right that it's creative. I haven't ever seen anything like this. So I wanted to like that more, but then I get someone right in my ear exasperated at the very concept of this scene. And I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, I'm sure this is how a rap battle, they feel like they're doing it.
Yeah. And that's how I felt. It was like between two different spells and taking spells, because we kind of saw that with him and Thanos when they went against each other, where they're using different spells. Yeah. But I felt like this was kind of like that same thing where it's like, all right, you know what? Let's just do it this way. And so I just love the technicalness of it, where it wasn't just throwing notes, but they're playing music and two different songs between each other, going against each other. I was just like, that's genius. I was like, I would have never thought of something like that.
It just ends it, but like, oh, we're in a standstill, but I'll play the harp. Like this glissando and then the one note to break it.
I thought it was great. So all in all, I feel like this movie is probably going down as one of my favorite Marvel movies because I like the brutalness of it. I'm glad my wife and I went to go see it before we brought our kids with, because I was like, holy smokes. This movie, I don't know how they pulled off a PG-13 rating. Like, that to me, especially when you see Black Bolt, you can see if you look closely, his brain kind of like slumps from his suit. I'm like, whoa, that's intense.
I'll have to say, like, the way that they killed Captain Carter was a really great way to censor it but for you to completely understand what happened.
Yeah. And I was like thinking, even when that happened, I was like, no, she's like Cap. She's going to figure out a way. She will be the one person to at least slow her down. But I was like, oh, no, sorry.
I'll say, like, of the five cameos, I knew that the other four, or like I had guessed that Black Bolt would easily be on there. I did not expect for not only Captain Marvel, but was it, which one's the mom? Maria Rambo? Yeah. It's either Maria or Monica, and I always confuse the two, but I think it's Maria that's her name. So I didn't expect that one, but I expected all the other four. And yeah, they bring back Patrick Stewart to kill him for the fourth time on screen. he's the new Uncle Ben of the MCU. Just let Patrick Stewart Xavier live, for crying out loud.
They do kill him a lot.
I mean, they killed him in a really cool scene. I loved that part, that one scene too, of him trying to free her and then unable to do so. Like, that is another one of those comic book moment type scenes. It's like, yeah, you've seen this presented in a comic book moment as well. Same type of thing.
Yeah, when I saw him, like, when he goes into her mind, that made me go, wow, he's really old. Like, Patrick Stewart, I've never seen him look so older, because you could tell he's like skinny and he walks like real slow. And I don't think that was like his character walking. I think that's him like, all right, look, guys, I can only do this so many times.
And I've lost my really cool comic accurate chair. I think that might be the only reason that they brought him back. They're like, we have not gotten a chance to use this sick chair, and we want to, so we're going to do it.
You deserve it, Patrick Stewart. You've died a lot of times to get this chair. Here you go.
Here's my big complaint. Apart from what I said at the very offset, this is what I expected from this movie that I didn't get. They had the one scene where they travel through like the many multiverses in that brief montage, as they're just like over and over and over as they're traveling to this first new multiverse. So they have the one multiverse, they have all of those in that like 20-second clip, and then they have that one multiverse that Doctor Strange goes to at the end with the other version of himself. I can't, those are like the three spots of multiverse in it. When they're talking about a multiverse of madness, I wanted to see a lot of multiverse hopping. That is what I was excited for, and I didn't get that. I want to see them spend maybe only 5 to 10 minutes in a multiverse just to get a general feel for what is different about that one and have some plot exposure there, and then have to move to a completely different multiverse. I want to see that pop up in a movie.
Well, my only thing for that is I would say that this movie only ran for 2 hours, and I never felt like, okay, let's speed this along. It did not feel like a 2 hours to me. And so I think it'd be really hard for them to like, yes, it'd be cool to see all these. I would love to see like the whole cartoon thing that they pulled off, to see a little bit more of that. But that would be really hard to do that for all these different places. And then another part is, from what I've read, there's a whole nother 40 minutes of the movie that they had to cut out.
I believe it.
So I'm sure that had something to do with another place or another point. But
don't worry, I got my fill of that. Here's a shameless plug for someone that I have no connection to. This is for free, and I'm sure he's not listening. But I watched this YouTube series that came out, like, it's a two-parter. And have you heard of the YouTuber Markiplier? Because he just did like this huge thing called In Space with Markiplier. And it actually ends up being like this whole multiverse thing, because it's like YouTube videos and you click on the first one, but then it takes you through like a choose your own adventure at the end of each episode. And so you can choose how you're acting, because you're the captain of this spaceship. And it's silly, because it's, you know, if you know Markiplier videos at all, it's definitely his feel of it, his silliness. But it's actually really well done. Like, it is crazy well done. They have about 7 hours of content all together through all of these videos. And and all these visual effects. It's like they had 700 visual effects shots that they had counted, and all this sort of stuff. So I watched that because they just had the part two, and that was the final part of it, released like a week and a half ago or something like that. And it was so cool. So they did that. They did that part of the multiverse. You go to like this noir verse. You go to this, one of them's like a puppet verse. They're all these, it's so crazy. And it's like the, we can do anything we want. So we'll do whatever we want. And a lot of stuff like from his old videos, because he has his own lore within the channel. That's just absolutely ridiculous. So it has all these Easter eggs and callbacks to other things. It's, I was so impressed. I'm like, this YouTuber who was no one 10 years ago, because it debuted on his 10-year anniversary back in April. 10 years ago, he was no one. And then he has accumulated all of this skill in these 10 years of doing YouTube that he puts together this project and gets all this collaboration, all of these people helping to make this a reality. It was really amazing. So it's free on YouTube, In Space with Markiplier. Check it out. I don't think you'd be disappointed.
Nice. I just might have to do that. That's interesting to have somebody take the time to pull all that off. Do you know how many views it's gotten so far?
Oh, millions. I mean, he's got like 20 million subscribers. So he's a rather popular YouTuber, and he has the money to be able to afford this, because it does not look cheap. You can, there's a little bit like the CGI where you're like, okay, this is definitely like YouTube stuff, but it never really gives off a cheap feel.
And that's where I was going with it. I was like, now, are we talking somebody who has 100 subscribers? And you're like, okay.
Which, I mean, even if you're able to do that, if you can like make it with these practical effects, but like the set design that they do is super cool too. It looks good. So I was impressed. It's not Marvel good, but.
Well, even the universes that we got, I felt like that was really cool. And I love how they used the one utopia verse, where it's like red means go and green means stop. I loved how that was used throughout the movie. I loved how they came back to that whole point, even when it's like, I have no choice, we have to do this. And like, he even uttered that right before he made his choice. He's like, wait a minute, it's the opposite. It's, I got to do what does not seem right. And so I thought that was cool. I love the universe where, I loved all the universes. As a matter of fact, if you saw What If?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm still under the impression that evil strange we saw was the one in What If.
I actually have changed it now. My theory is that the evil strange that we saw might be a later version of the strange that we see throughout this movie. I think that they go to a 616 universe that is after he has gotten sucked into all of this. And I know, like, story-wise and character-wise, that probably won't work, that it's just more like a showing the indication of like, this is the path that you could go on, and helps him to be able to make the choice of, I don't need to have my hand on the knife, so to speak. But that's where I thought they might be going to. I thought that they were going to twist that around, and I could see them still pulling off that twist in a future movie.
No, I did. I like that. I thought it was really cool how they ended him and his love interest like story. Like, that's a good ending spot for that, because a lot of times, at least when these past Marvel movies, they bring on this love interest and it's like, all right, what happened? Are they just chilling out? Like, where'd they go? And obviously you could see that in the Thor movies, and now where she's coming back, which is cool. But it's like, I felt like they were like, okay, your character has nothing to do. Let's just end her story. You guys, let's put this relationship to rest. And I thought that was great. I thought they did a really good job in doing that.
Nice.
And then, of course, with that post-credits scene, that's when his other love interest comes in the comic book. If you guys don't know, she is actually the niece, I think, of Dumont. Man, I can't. Yes.
Yeah.
And so they actually become love interests. I think they actually get married too, as well.
And I mean, I'm sure a lot of you guys who you might be casual Marvel fans, but don't know too much about the comic books, when you saw that, you might have been like, all right, time to Google, who is this purple chick?
Yeah.
So you probably know that that's Cleo and that she has a lot of adventures through the dark dimension with, and that's where they jumped to is what I'm guessing is yeah. Doctor Strange and Cleo jumping into the dark dimension. So my guess is we're going to see a lot more of that in Doctor Strange 3, them exploring that dimension.
I would say I did not like that. I felt like that was a little tacky, like this, here comes this cosplay character, Charlize Theron jumping in. It's like, we got another adventure to go on. And he's like, yeah, third eye open. Like, I didn't like that personally.
Yeah, I'm surprised in their music fight that Doctor Strange didn't use like Third Eye Blind songs. Like, this will get him. It'll shut the third eye and I'll win.
Wow. And just this total look to the camera, like, what do you expect?
He just whips out an acoustic guitar. Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
That would be awesome, actually. I personally just did not like her introduction. And okay, let me take this back. I think Charlize Theron is a great actress. I just don't like this direction that they're going with. Now let's take these big stars and let's give them roles in the Marvel universe. I'm like, okay, guys, come on. There are new people that you can find. I felt like that's what they did with Chris.
Hemsworth.
Oh man, what? No, the other Chris.
Well, they did that with Chris Hemsworth. I'm sorry, if you're talking about like new characters, because they're like, okay, Chris Hemsworth, let's throw him in as Thor. He fits the bill, and his career exploded naturally because of that role.
Well, even Chris Evans. I felt like Chris Evans was one of those actors where it's like, yeah, he's played some characters, but they weren't really good. And yeah. He wasn't like a super like sell a movie star. And so for them to actually, I had no problem with him being Captain America because I didn't really place him, even with the terrible Fantastic Four movie that they did. He felt totally different, and he fit.
Didn't think that he would. I will go on record, because when that first casting was announced, I'm like, because I knew that they had like John Krasinski was in the running, and I could have seen John Krasinski as Captain America. And then they had the guy who played Captain Awesome on the Chuck TV show. Now he isn't like a big name actor. I don't think that guy could handle the nuance that Chris Evans does, but I was like, oh no, he would be a great fit. Very natural fit for it. And I'm glad that I was wrong with Chris Evans, because he knocked out of the park for sure.
Oh gosh, yes. That he to me is just like Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man. It's like, yep, you were that character. That's him.
See, I can see other people still playing Captain America. I can't see other people playing Iron Man. Same with Professor Xavier. There's just a couple that I'm like, I can't see anyone else playing it. Whereas even though Chris Evans was a great casting, I still could see someone else doing the Captain America role
really,
really well. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, who? Besides the two people you mentioned.
And even then, like, maybe John Krasinski would be as good as Chris Evans. Like I said, the other guy, no. I don't know who I would say is like that golden boy type, because again, I was surprised with Chris Evans. I would have to see the auditions too, because it could easily be someone that I'm not even thinking of, you know. Like I jump to, oh, who's a golden boy type, and I think of like the, if you ever watch the Once Upon a Time TV show where there's the Prince Charming in it. He wouldn't be that great. He might do it fine, but I don't know if he has the nuance, or else he'd be in more stuff. So,
see, I feel like Patrick Stewart as Professor X, great.
Yeah,
I think other people can play him though. I thought
James McAvoy does a great job. He's a great actor. I just don't see Professor Xavier like I do with Patrick Stewart. Even in like I watch like an episode of the 90s X-Men, and he has an American accent in the 90s X-Men TV show. And I'm like, no, he's got to be British. It just doesn't fit if he's not British. I'm sorry.
Like, this is one instance where the movie actually changes the comic book. Yeah. It's only happened a couple times, but yes, I would agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this movie. Matt thought it was from the devil, but I thought this movie was great. I have no big issues with this movie. Totally go see it. Don't bring your kids to it.
Yeah,
this is a true, you at least be 13. Watch at least. But that's how I feel about it. It's great.
Well, we are going to take next week off. I'm going to be in California, so I'm going to be at Disneyland, and I can't record an episode while I'm at Disneyland. So,
oh, you can, huh?
I can.
But Terrence can record an episode where he's like in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, driving through some town in Michigan.
You're not paying thousands of dollars to be there.
No, parents can be there, like telling kids about Jesus and helping their eternal life. I could take some time off to do a podcast.
Terrence, would you like to talk about all the times that I was ready to go and you're like, yo, Matt, I can't do it tonight. I'm sorry. Should we talk about those?
I had great reasons, okay? There has never been a what where I was just like, I just don't want to do it. Never, ever. Ever.
And I don't hold it over your head unless you come at me with this crap. Did Jeff tell you to say that? Is Jeff there? Put Jeff on. You know what? I don't even want to talk to him. Jeff, get your face out of here. I don't want to see you.
You're done, Jeff. You're done.
But the week all after right. that, we're going to do our summer movie preview. I know you're like, hey, woo, summer's already started, but if you have kids in Minnesota like I do, apparently school goes to June. I don't know. Yeah. What the heck is that about?
I know. There's a lot of schools that end in May, which is weird.
Yeah.
But that's it.
In Omaha, Nebraska, that's where I went to school. And our school was done in the middle of May. When I went to college, our school was done at the beginning of May. And then they're like, oh, high school, you don't need nice weather. You should stay in school for all of May.
Well, college is a little different because college kids got to get their jobs. But
for those high school, get the cheddar.
Because they broke. All right. True. Let us know what you think. My name is Terrence.
And I'm Matt.
Oh, my gosh, Jeff. If I will put my foot in your ear because I don't want you to hear another word I'm about to say.
I will break this foot off in your butt.
In your butt. All right. We'll see you guys later. Don't talk to Jeff. Peace.